Obama. He is the Messiah of the United States, and still Hillary Clinton gets elected. What up, dogs? It's the great one himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSSC.com. On the interwebs, brace yourselves. The bitch slapping is going to be delivered today. Bitch slapping coming. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. And shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the number one, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. They go hand in hand with each other. Just like two gay guys on a park bench, they go hand in hand. Oh, yes. Offended the homosexuals right off the bat. Who else can we offend today? Ooh, everybody. You know why? Because this is Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. And today, I'm going to offend people unlike normal. All right, look. I'm in a fucking pissy mood. What? Yes, good point. Randy is asking me when the fuck is that different from normal. Alright. I am the great one himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interweb, CYNLIBSOC, on the Twitterverse. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. The theme song for Stating the Obvious is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album called About Face. I highly recommend getting that album. All of David Gilmour's albums, his solo albums, are great. And of course, his work with Pink Floyd is, of course, Pink Floyd. It's Pink Floyd. I mean, who the fuck doesn't like Pink Floyd? If you don't like Pink Floyd, there's something wrong with you. All right, so a Greenpeace activist, a homeless guy, and a Jewish lawyer walk into a courtroom. Anyway, I already did that podcast. I already talked about that, but I just thought about that the other day. It's hilarious. If you don't know what I'm talking about, too bad. You should listen to the podcast more often and you would know. If you want to send us email, you can send that to God. That's God, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Some people say, why is your email address God? Do you think you're God? No, you stupid motherfuckers. The email address is God because it's offensive to religious people. Because the religious people, I've told this story before, I'll tell it again because it's a short story. I used to be friends with this person, and the only reason I say used to be is because we don't live in the same city anymore, so we don't have contact anymore. Even though we are Facebook friends, that doesn't really count for anything. And she was at the time a Mormon. And one time I mentioned to her that God spelled backwards was dog. And I don't know why, but this was really offensive. Like, she knew I didn't believe in God, and we were in theater together, and we hung out with a lot of atheists. And none of this ever fazed her. But when I said that God spelled backwards is dog, that was like the most pissed off I ever saw her get in the entire time I knew her. I have no idea why God being dog spelled backwards was offensive. But it was. And that's why my email address is God, because I'm hoping to offend religious people, and that's why at the beginning of every episode I point out that it's dog spelled backwards. Yes, I do go out of my way to offend people. Anything else I need to cover? Thank you. Today is the 1st of May, 2015. Survived the month of April. I didn't talk about income tax as much this year. I normally do some ranting about income taxes, but I've been busy with other stuff. That may come again in the future, because I do need to talk about taxation because of some comments that have been left over on the YouTube's channel. Be sure and go check out the YouTube's channel. Leave comments if you want to. Leave comments here on the website. Comments directed at the Cynical Libertarian Society. The only place they will be acknowledged is on the Twitterverse, directly on the email, on the website, or on the YouTube's. If you're over on the Facebook or the Google pages, Don't even bother. I'm also contemplating if I should set up a Tumblr page for Cynical Libertarian Society. Especially since Tumblr... Sorry, it's me getting distracted. Especially since Tumblr is populated almost exclusively by social justice warriors. It seems like it might be a good place to have a Cynical Libertarian Society page and piss people off. It's just a thought. It could happen. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could. All right. What are we doing today? Well, for those of you who haven't read the title of the podcast, today we are going to be reviewing... I forgot to do my homework. We are going to be reviewing, discussing, talking about the book called Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto, by some fucking douchebag, vagina, small penis fucker named Steve Almond. I'm assuming his penis is the size of an almond. Alright, first of all, let's get the preliminaries out of the way. As I attempt to do two things at once. The book, Against Football, Steve Almond. It's well written. I have talked about the book, and I'm looking for this right now. I've talked about football quite a bit lately compared to the fact that I almost never talk about football. Here we go. The King of Sports by Greg Easterbrook. And then there's another book. I know I talked about it briefly. I didn't do an in-depth discussion. It is called The Dark Side of the Game, I believe is the correct title, or it might be have been The Darker Side. I think it's The Dark Side of the Game. And I forget the name of the author. The author is a person who is a former NFL player. So it's written from his perspective of a former player. And then he was also a commentator on the NFL on television. So it's from his perspective. And both of these books, to different extents, point out problems with the game of football. And of course, both of the people who write these are statist, and so there's some statism in there. That's what you would expect, and it's normal levels. Anyhow, if you're interested in educating yourself about football, and specifically about the problems of football, the abuse of the college students who are essentially working for free for the colleges, and the tax-exempt status of the NFL, and the fact that all of these stadiums are financed by taxpayers, you basically get nothing out of it, and the bullshit of how, building the stadium will create jobs, and all this other shit, right? If you want to know anything about the actual truth of what's going on behind the scenes of the NFL and college football and high school football, then I highly recommend reading these books. Now, I will add to that the recommendation that you should read Against Football by Steve Almond, the guy with the very small penis. Now, I am about to spend, and this is going to be a two-parter at least, possibly a three-parter, I am about to spend well over an hour ripping this little fuckwad a new asshole. The book, however, is very readable. I read most of this in one day, got up the next morning, and finished it. It's 180 pages long or so. It's very well written, very conversational. It's a fun, easy read. And he points out many valid actual problems. The problem with Steve Almond is two things. First of all, he has a penis obsession. According to this book, he claims that he has a wife and children, which I suspect is just a cover for the fact that he's a homosexual. And this doesn't mean he's a bad person because he's a homosexual. This just means that he's lying about his sexuality. And I say that because he talks about penises a lot. And he also talks about how his two parents are both psychiatrists or something. And so it's this whole thing where, it's this everything he views it through the penis. It's like, well, the reason Americans love football players or something... I should have put notes down for this. He's going on about... Hold on, let me compose my brain. Brain, function. his argument that occurs a couple of times in the book is essentially that men are into football because football is their way of compensating for their small penises. And that the players in the NFL are so homophobic. And he doesn't really he presents one piece of anecdotal evidence for the fact that all the players in the NFL are homophobic. But regardless, he makes the assertion that the players in the NFL are all homophobic because they're actually homosexuals, which is interesting because, you know, and this is the old argument. We've heard this 1,000 times. The reason people hate homosexuals is because they're really homosexuals, to which I've always said, okay, so then that means the reason you hate Republicans so much is because you're actually a Republican, right? The reason you hate capitalists so much is because you're actually a capitalist. The reason you hate white men so much is because you're actually a white man, right? That argument doesn't really hold any water. Now, I'm not saying that people in the NFL are or are not homophobic. I'm saying I don't give a fuck. I'm saying that I don't care. Again, in an anarcho-capitalist society, you can be whatever the fuck you want because you have to face the consequences of it. As we will see as we go through this book, yada, 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 statism. Now, that brings me to the second big problem with Steve Almond, and something he doesn't have that's big is obviously his penis, because he talks about penises a lot in this book, and he's compensating. The other big problem with Steve Almond is that while Greg Easterbrook is a statist, and the guy who wrote the book, The Darker Side of the Game, is a statist, they're like normal level statist, right? They just haven't really thought this through. Steve Almond is a rabid statist, and it comes through in the book. When he's not obsessing about penises, he's obsessing about the government and the state. And there is the last like 4 or 5 pages of the book proper, I couldn't even take notes anymore because it became so outlandish. His worship, and I mean worship, when we get to the end of this, whenever I say that left-wing statists worship Obama as a god, we are going to see at the end of this book the worship that Steve Almond has for Hussein Obama. He's not just a normal statist. No, no. This guy is a fucking rabid, small-penis, Messiah-worshipping, statist, feminist, fuckwad. And you're saying to yourself, well, great one. If this guy's such a douchebag, why should I read this book? There are two reasons, well, probably more than two. There's two reasons. I don't know what they are yet, because shit's just coming out of my mouth. Here's the reasons you should read this book. Number one, it's well-written. Number two, it identifies legitimate problems. Number three, it shows you how incredibly fucked up the statist brain is, because the statist brain has identified these problems but does not have a fucking clue as to the actual cause or the solution. Right, for example, the problem he identifies is politicians giving football team or politicians taking money from taxpayers to build stadiums that football teams play in and keep all the revenue for themselves without revenue going back to the city or the taxpayers or the community. So what is his solution? Well, his solution is more democracy. Wait a minute. Democracy is how the politicians that raised the taxes got there in the first place. Right? It's like saying, well, my husband beats me when he gets drunk. Well, obviously, the solution is to buy another bottle of Jack Daniels and give it to him. This is statist thinking. Statists are incapable, even when they can't accurately identify the problems. Corporate welfare handed out by the government to the NFL teams, legitimate problem, identified in this book. They still can't figure out the solution. They still can't figure out that corporate welfare is something that comes from the government. You can't fix corporate welfare with more government. You can't fix corporate welfare with more democracy, any more than you can fix drunkenness with more alcohol. But they're stupid. They're completely fucking stupid. And reading this book will give you valuable insight into the mind of somebody who is a stupid fucking statist, just mind-blowingly fucking beyond stupid, beyond just normal level statist stupid. This fucking moron, Steve Almond, takes it up a notch. The other reason you should read this book, the second reason you should read this book, and here's the second reason. I tell you the other two reasons, but I can't remember them. The other second reason you should read this book is because, as anarcho-capitalist, one of the things that differentiates us from the inferior people in the population, and yes, they are inferior. I want to fucking hear about how everybody is equal and all human life has value. Shut the fuck up. The inferior people, what differentiates us from them is our ability to expose ourselves to opinions that are different than our own, right? I give you feminism. You say anything at all contrary to feminism, and the feminists immediately have to shut you down because they know they can't refute it. For example, I talked about... Yes, I know. We're 17 minutes into the podcast. I haven't got to the fucking book yet. This will probably be a three-parter. And I talked about the dumb bitch at... Randy, who is that dumb bitch with? Reddit. The dumb bitch at Reddit who has said, well, we're not going to allow anyone to negotiate for their salaries anymore because men are better at negotiating for salaries and therefore get more raises than women, and that's unfair. And what did I say? I said, well, some of the lies that women tell us is that, number one, anything a man can do, a woman can do better, and number two, women are better at communicating than men are. So negotiating for a salary is, first of all, something a man can do, and second of all, involves communication. So now, if in fact anything a man can do, a woman can do better, and if in fact women are so good at communicating, logic, which is of course patriarchy, like math, logic would dictate that women would in fact be better at negotiating and getting raises than men are, because women are better communicators, and anything a man can do, a woman can do better. And yet, women are not better at negotiating for raises than men are. What does this tell us? It tells us that women suck at communication skills, which we already know, and it tells us that, no, women cannot do things better than men. Now, if you say this in the presence of a femistatist social justice warrior, she will fucking go berserk and attempt to silence you, because, of course, she cannot refute what has just been said. Because what has just been said is not an opinion. It's a reflection of reality. By their own admission, by the admission of the femistatist social justice warriors, men are better at negotiating for pay raises than women are. I didn't make this up. They're the ones who said it, not me. So you should read this book, because we, as anarcho-capitalists, are not afraid of differing opinions. We're not afraid of information that does not support our worldview, because we know that when we receive information contrary to our worldview, we can analyze it, we can think about it. If it turns out to be valid and true, we can accept that. If it turns out to be invalid and true, we can find ways to invalidate that information without having to resort to freaking out and name-calling. For example, I mean, while reading this book, at no point am I going to make fun of Steve Allman's small dick size as a way of invalidating his arguments. Oh, wait, I've already made fun of his small dick size. Sorry. Alright, I've already drank half my bottle of water. I'm going to be in trouble when I run out. Yeah, throat's a little iffy today there, Missy. Alright, that's the introduction. We're 21 minutes into the cast. The introduction is now done. I should probably get started making fun of Steve Allman's small penis and his obsession with penises. Here we go. Against football. And originally, I was not going to talk about this book on the cast other than just to mention it in passing. But when I started it, I did not know how incredibly fucking statist this guy actually is. And the book is littered with these attacks on freedom, these attacks on capitalism, these attacks on rich people. There's all these like one-liners just thrown in there. Like, you know how at the beginning of this cast I did the one-liner about two gays holding hands on a park bench? You know, just these in-passing references that can be interpreted as derogatory and hateful and all this other stuff. This book is littered with just those little one-liners thrown out at heterosexual white men with jobs, thrown out at rich people, thrown out at freedom, thrown out at capitalism, and like all statists, for him, everything that happens here is because of capitalism. It's because of greed. There's all this greed. It's greed. The word greed appears in this book multiple times. And of course, I'm pretty sure Steve Allman didn't write this book for free. But this is the other fascinating thing to me about people who hate capitalism so much, is you notice none of these cocksuckers are willing to work for free. They all want money. Whether they do actually do something, I mean, I'll give Steve Allman's small penis bitch self credit. At least he did something for the money. I mean, he wrote this book in return for the money he was paid for the book. At least he actually did something instead of just receiving a welfare check. But all of these people who hate capitalism, regardless of whether they're actually producing anything for which they expect to get paid, or whether they're just sitting around getting welfare and food stamps and WIC and Social Security and all this other shit, they all expect to get money. All these people who hate capitalism still feel an entitlement to have money. All right, we're on page 41. I'm reading my notes. Hang on. Really? I've got. Okay, I guess so. Here we go. It's useful to recall here the manner in which the public outcry over violence reshaped football a century ago. Back then, the President of the United States felt duty-bound to help speed reforms. And again, this all through the book. Well, the President did this. The President did that. This guy has this fucking hero worship for presidents. Except, of course, for Ronald Reagan. Oh, he's got nothing but bad things to say about the Gipper. But every other president he mentions, it's this reverence and this love. And oh, the love he has for Obama. I'm telling you, when you get to the end of this book, Steve Allman gets down on his knees, which is not a problem because his penis is so small that it has no chance of touching the ground. If I'm on my knees, my penis drags the ground. I gotta stop. I'm telling you, he is penis obsessed. You think I'm just fucking saying this to be a douchebag? Well, actually, I am. But again, read the book. He is obsessed with penises. Trust me on this. It's like watching Game of Thrones. I just finished the South Park. What? Yeah. Randy's telling me I should fucking stick to the topic. When does that ever happen? I just finished rewatching the South Park trilogy, the Game of Thrones trilogy. Oh my god. Oh, and since the first time I had watched it, I've watched more actual Game of Thrones since then, so I get even more of the jokes now. Like the whole wedding party, I didn't get that joke the first time around. Oh my god, the South Park Game of Thrones parody trilogy is like South Park at its finest. It's just like Butters. What's up with all the wieners? That's how I feel reading this book. It's like, what is this guy's obsession with penises? Trust me, all joking aside, read the fucking book, and you decide for yourself. I'm not like Rush Limbaugh. I'm going to tell you what to think. I love when Limbaugh announces that his purpose is to tell people what to think. It's like, hey Limbaugh, are you actually proud of the fact that the people who listen to your show are so fucking stupid that they need you, a motherfucking fat guy who is addicted to prescription drugs, to tell them what to think? That is not something I would fucking announce to the world and be proud of. If anything, the best thing about my small audience that listens to me on a regular basis is that none of them, as far as I can tell from the comments on the YouTubes, none of them just fucking mindlessly believe anything that comes out of my mouth. They fucking ask questions and disagree with me when it occurs to them to do so. Fuck you all with this. How'd I get on this topic? Randy, what the fuck am I talking about? Small penises, yeah. Game of Thrones, South Park, yeah. I have no idea why I'm talking about this. Alright. Let's get back to reading the book, shall we? Hey, let's get back to the fucking subject of the podcast. Shall we do that? What do you guys think? That's a great idea. Excuse me, my voice is giving out already. Alright. President of the United States felt duty bound to help save your friends. The game was killing and maiming college and high school players. It was a moral problem. Somebody's back at this right. Football was killing and maiming college and high school players. This is a moral problem. Okay. The war on terrorism is killing and maiming adults and children in foreign countries with flying robots. The war on drugs is killing and maiming adults and children in the United States. Flashbang grenades being thrown into babies' cribs. People being shot. Dogs being shot. I notice those don't seem to be moral problems for a cocksucking, small-penised piece of shit like Steve Almond. He's totally okay with murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots. That does not seem to be a problem for Steve Almond whatsoever. You know why? Because Obama has black skin, and he's the Messiah. And Obama, well, he's a black guy, and he's probably got a really big penis. And Steve Almond, well, he's really into penises, as you will know if you read this book. The moment football becomes a business, violence was no longer just a moral problem, it was a money problem. Oh, so you see, the problem with football is that it's a business. Unlike the government, which, you know, murders people but doesn't actually produce anything of value, apparently. I'm not even really sure what the fuck those two sentences mean, to tell you the truth. The moment football becomes a business, violence was no longer just a moral problem, it was a money problem. This, of course, is the big dance of capitalism. How to keep morality from gumming up the gears of profit. Again, Notice there's no reference to how we keep morality from gumming up the gears of government. War on drugs, war in Afghanistan, bombing other countries. Again, there's no problem with, in Allman's fucking small penis world, of the morality of that. I mean, it's clear cut, right? Obama's black, he has a big penis. Yeah, let's kill those fucking brown people with flying robots. It's not remotely a moral issue. But the fact that, and this will all get discussed, it's coming up, but the fact that some people who chose to play football are doing something dangerous and some of them get injured, well, now that's a fucking crisis. That's a moral crisis, right? Police shooting civilians, police spraying tear gas in the face of protesters, police throwing flashbangs into babies' cribs, police shooting people's dogs, police blah, blah, blah. Foreign countries flying robots. You know, none of this is a moral issue for the small penis Steve Almond. Because, of course, the government doesn't make a profit. Because the government doesn't produce anything. All right. This big dance of capitalism, how to keep morality coming up the gears of profit, how to convince people to make bad decisions without seeing them as bad. You mean like voting? You mean like supporting the troops? You mean like electing politicians who murder other human beings? You mean like obeying the police? Those kind of bad decisions? No, of course not. See, those are good decisions. Those are status decisions. Those are decisions that reinforce the supremacy of the state and the government. Okay. We have whole industries devoted to this voodoo, the dark arts of advertising, marketing, public relations, lobbying. And remember, he's talking about football, but as I read this, imagine we as ANCAPs can very easily apply the same thing to the state. And what's amazing is that he thinks all of this applies to the NFL and the college. And again, let me take a pause in making fun of Steve Almond's small penis to point out that there's only a couple of times in this book where I disagree with the problems he has identified. Is the NFL a problem? Is the NFL tax exempt? And is that a problem? Yeah. Does the NFL get massive, massive, fucking massive corporate welfare and subsidies from the governments, which are taken directly from the taxpayers and out of the taxpayers' pockets? Absolutely. Does the NFL dope its players up as much as possible? Absolutely. Does the NFL treat its players like shit? Absolutely. Does giant people slamming into each other in the football field cause brain damage and concussions? Absolutely. I don't disagree with the only thing I disagree with him is when he talks about how we're getting to it, but it's the whole thing. It's like, no, yes, these people are choosing to play football. And of course, as a statist, he has a problem with that, because it's interesting, these people are all, in his worldview, too stupid to truly choose to play football because they don't know what they're getting into. But of course, these very same people are intelligent enough to vote. This is always the problem with democracy, is when people start talking about democracy. If people are smart enough to choose who should be the president of the United States, the most powerful single human on the planet Earth, then they should be smart enough to fucking run their own lives. So we've got idiots like Greg Almond and his small penis who always want to make this argument that people aren't smart enough to make their own decisions, therefore we should have more democracy. But if you're not smart enough to make your own decisions, first of all, you're not smart enough to elect somebody else to make your decisions for you, and you're sure as fuck all not smart enough to elect somebody else to make my decisions for me, or anybody else's decisions for them. But like a fucking statist with a small penis, Greg Almond cannot figure this out because he's so enamored of the state and of Hussein Obama and his large penis that Greg Almond is somebody else. Steve Almond can't get past that. Anyway, every day an army of clever men and women are devising new ways to get us to enjoy tobacco and animal flesh and petroleum and corn syrup without suffering the harsh aftertaste of guilt, without dwelling on the ethical cost of these pleasures. I notice that Steve Almond, while here sitting here whining about how people are getting us to enjoy petroleum, I noticed that Steve Almond's book that I'm currently holding in my hand was transported to bookstores across the country by trucks running on petroleum. But again, another thing Steve Almond and his small penis make clear throughout this book is that he's totally against football, but he loves football. And he's very open about how much he just loves football. He watches football. It's like, yeah, I'm really opposed to raping women. And then I go to a bar and I, find some drunk woman and I take her in the alley and I push her down and I hold her throat while I fucking, ass fuck her. It's like, no, obviously I don't. Obviously I'm not opposed to raping women because I'm raping a fucking woman. And as a statist with a small penis, Steve Almond cannot figure out that when he says he's opposed to football, but he still watches football and supports football, that means he's not actually opposed to football. Because statists believe that what you say is more important than what you do. Again, this is, to me, one of the pillars of anarcho-capitalism, is that we understand that it's not what you say that matters, it's what you do that matters. That's why we have to try to live our lives differently. Oftentimes, you will hear some academic type marvel for the American capacity for self-delusion. Here's our secret. We're soaking in it. Again, Almond has identified the problem. Yeah, there's a lot of self-delusion. We are soaking in self-delusion in the United States. We have a delusion that buildings that haven't been hit by airplanes fall down by themselves. We have a delusion that the killing of people in foreign countries with flying robots is justified. We have a delusion that 8-year-old boys should have their penises touched by TSA employees in airports. We have this delusion that the war on drugs can be won and that the violence in the war on drugs is justified. We have a delusion that you should obey the police when the police are beating you and telling you to do things you shouldn't be doing. Instead, blah, 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 blah. We have a delusion that taxes are not theft. We have a delusion that laws are not a threat of violence. We have a delusion that politicians are better than us and therefore somehow deserve to tell us what to do. We have a delusion that a politician should be obeyed. We have a delusion that the state exists. We have a delusion that this is a capitalist economy when it's nothing remotely like that. We have a delusion that there are corporations which are too big to fail, even though there's nothing anywhere in the concept of capitalism of too big to fail. We have a fucking shit ton of delusions. We have a delusion that democracy works. If democracy works, why do we have all the problems we have? Because we sure as fuck have democracy. I mention all this not to that. I mention all this not just to get my socialist jollies, but to emphasize the larger system within which modern football operates. From the perspective of its governing body, the NFL, the game is a multi-billion dollar product, and those of us who love it are not innocent fans rooting for our teams to prevail. We are consumers. Our money and attention are what subsidize the game. Again, true. How many times have I pointed out every rich person is only rich because you stupid people bought the rich person's products? Apple Corporation has a lot of money because you people buy Apple products. Yeah, the NFL is rich because you people buy NFL products and go to see the games. Yes, the NFL is also rich because of the government subsidies and the tax breaks. Where did those come from? The government. Where did the government come from? The same people who buy the NFL's products, elected the government. It's democracy. This is true of all pro sports, but it's especially true of football. Consider this factoid. In 1948, nearly 9/10 of the revenue earned by the NFL's best team, the Philadelphia Eagles, came from ticket sales. The share of radio and TV rights was 3%. Hardcore fans kept the league afloat. The ones who braved stadiums so cold that the players sat bundled in hay to keep warm on the sidelines. This season, the NFL will receive $5 billion. Hold on, I was reading backwards because I was looking to see that, because he talked about 1948. He didn't give an actual number for how much money that was. I just wanted to compare it, but he doesn't give the figure. Anyway, this season, the NFL will receive $5 billion. That's with a B. Billion dollars in TV rights alone, nearly half its total revenue, and three times more than Major League Baseball earns. This money is generated by the tens of millions of casual fans engaging in what we might call passive consumption. Example, watching a game on your couch while inhaling Cheetos. But the league's ascendance has had unintended consequences. Stars now qualify as national celebrities, and their physical deterioration is front page news. Television coverage renders each game as both epic and personal. Back in the 70s, the camera angles were limited and the images often grainy. The players remained obscured under their bulky exoskeletons, more like superheroes than human beings. Today, we see the game in high def. Slow motion replays show us the unnatural angle of the broken ankle and a quarterback's contorted face at the precise moment he is concussed. We hear the impact thanks to tiny microphones affixed to the players' uniforms. It's gotten harder and harder for even casual fans to deny the cruelty of the game. And yet, you all continue to support it. Again, it's so akin when we look at the, as you read this book, and you look at the relationship between the fans and the NFL and their denial of everything about the NFL, the tax-exempt status, the obscene corporate whoring, the obscene tax subsidies, the violence. It is. It's as close as you can get to a perfect parallel to the relationship between the statist and the state. Just as the NFL fans choose not to notice all the subsidies, all the profiteering, all of the violence, all the injured players, so too do the statist choose to ignore all the people killed in the war, the people being killed with flying robots, the war on drugs, taxation is theft, all of the corporate handouts that the government gives, yada, yada, yada. The statist continues to believe that we need the state, and that the state is great, and the state has to be there, and the state does no evil. Even while being confronted with all of the evil things the state does. And the NFL fans, you know, continue, God, living here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, people just, those of you who watch South Park, and I don't know about other places, this is the thing, I've been here long, I don't know what goes on in other realms of the United States. But you watch South Park and you see them like poking fun, like in the church where they're praying for the Broncos and stuff. No, I'm serious, man. People here actually are that fucking fanatical about the Broncos. People in Fort Collins actually mention the Broncos when they're praying. I mean, there are people here who are just so fucking devoted and in love with the Broncos. And it's kind of fucking sick. I mean, it really is. I'm not gonna lie to you. Alright. Looking at my notes here. The one thing I have on my notes to talk about at this point. I swear to God, this comes up later, but let me just do it now. You know, he does talk about how, well, the players who are choosing to play don't know the trade, don't understand what they're getting into, and it's just like smoking. You know, nobody knew that, and there's always this argument with smoking, I've dealt with this before, that, well, nobody knew smoking was bad for you. Well, if you don't know that inhaling smoke into your lungs is bad for you, then that's nature's way of trying to remove your DNA from the gene pool. It's like if you don't know that standing in front of an oncoming bus is not good for you, that's nature's way of getting your DNA out of the gene pool. And the argument that Greg Almond with his small penis, I mean Steve Almond, I keep saying Greg Almond. Steve Almond and his small penis are making in this book is that these football players, they just don't know any better. They just don't understand that they might get hurt in the game. And my opinion is, well, first of all, if you don't understand that you might get hurt playing football, that's nature's way of getting your DNA out of the gene pool. But second of all, I think most of these players understand they might get hurt. But it's a trade-off. It's just like with smoking. I like to smoke a cigar every now and then. Is it the healthiest thing in the world? No. Is it going to shave 20 minutes off of my life? Maybe so. But that's a trade-off I'm willing to make because I'm enjoying smoking the cigar at the time I'm smoking it, and I'm okay with living 20 minutes less. Because, honest to God, having to live in a world populated by pieces of shit like Steve Almond with his statist fucking Obama-worshipping ass, I'm less and less. You know, I really am less and less fearing, I'll use the word fearing, of death. Cause it's like I just look at the world around me and how everything's going to shit, and it's like, you know what? I'm okay with not seeing how this comes out. It just I could fucking die right now. This is not, by the way, me saying I'm going to commit suicide or anything like that. Because again, we know the government's waiting to kill me the way they killed the guy who was making the Gray State film. Which I was going to say something brilliant about that, and I've completely forgotten what it was. I thought about it the other day. There was something popped into my brain, and I was going to say it on the cast, and I've completely forgotten it. It's a trade-off. The people who are playing football, they're getting paid a lot of money for it. And now, again, and this was talked about extensively in the other two books I've mentioned about football, King of Sports and Dark Side of the Game, is how football players get all this money and most of them blow it. And that's a bad move. I mean, look, if you go into football and you say, I'm going to play football, I'm going to do a couple of years, I'm going to make a bunch of money, I'm going to save my money, I'm going to invest my money, then that's a trade-off. And the whole time, are you in danger of being paralyzed or possibly dying or getting concussions and brain damage? Yeah, of course you are. And that's part of why they're getting paid a lot of money. They're also getting paid a lot of money because of, you know, the NFL and the corporate whoring and the rabid fans. So there's a lot more going on. But the point is to treat the NFL players as if they're too stupid to know they might get hurt. No, they've made a conscious decision that they're willing to endanger their lives for that money. Now, maybe that's not a great decision, but again, that brings us back to, okay, so if they're all that stupid, should they be voting? Should we have a democracy? And of course, we all know the answer is that no, they shouldn't be voting, and no, we should not live in a democracy, because democracy is a big fucking failure. All right, what is this? Hey, here we go. Speaking of consent, page 47. The second big rationalization in the NFL fan survival kit is that players knowingly choose to incur the game's risk and are paid for doing so. You hear this line all the time on sports talk radio, often in that pitched, contemptuous tone characteristic of men who resent moral contemplation. Right, because Steve Allman is so into moral contemplation about the war on drugs and the war on terror and spying on citizens and all this other stuff. Again, you can always tell the bullshit based on, you know, in addition to his obsession with penises, is his obsession with morality. He's so obsessed with morality, while at the same time he votes Democrat and he supports Obama. How many people have been murdered by the government since Obama's been the president? He's got no problem with that. And his solution, again, he thinks that these people are stupid. And his solution is that people going into the NFL should have to sign a consent form and a waiver in which they acknowledge they might get hurt. Because as if this somehow or another is going to make a difference. No, again, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure people going into the NFL know they could get hurt. Now, of course, most of them are also young. And as much as young people don't like to hear this, young people are stupid. It's been that way forever. Young people are stupid. They don't have a lot of life experience. I know this because I was once young also. I was stupider than fuck. Young people are stupider than fuck, and they think they're invulnerable. But yet these young people who are going into the NFL and are too stupid to know that they're going to get injured, brace yourself to hear something you've heard before. Haven't these people, haven't they had 12 years of public education? Haven't they had, some of them don't do the whole 4 years of college before they go to the NFL, but let's say on average at least 3 years of college. Haven't they had mothers? So at no point in their 12 years of government-sponsored public education did they ever learn that playing football is a way you could get injured. This was never mentioned. What did they learn for 12 years in public school? Oh, that's right. They learned that capitalism is evil. They learned that heterosexual white men who have jobs are responsible for everything bad that's ever happened. And they've learned we're all going to die from global warming. Yet again, we see the public education system completely fucking fails. And by fails, I mean it's successful in the sense that the purpose of the public education system is to create slaves who are too stupid to question the government. Only have two more pages of notes to go. That was an eighth of a page worth of notes. This is going to be, on part two, I'll try to get to the point a little faster, okay? I promise. But yeah, it's probably going to be a three-parter. Just brace yourself, Randy. Just brace yourself.